bottle of water.
I'm so full, I don't know. In fact, I'm either going to go on a diet or go shopping. You know, growing old's tough, but somebody's got to do it. What I have on my heart tonight is when Pastor McGovern asked me about coming, this is actually the first message I thought about. And I told my wife that I felt like this would be it. It's a practical message. Brother McGovern, you're the pastor of the church. Can I take my jacket off?
No.
Okay. I do this all the time. I'm from Florida. And I'm a little warm. When I get a little warm, I get a little closed up. Thank you, Brother Roach, for the message tonight. I appreciate that so much. And I don't want to take away from the preaching time to talk about, again, how much I have appreciated knowing everybody here all these years. But I will tell you this. I have bragged, promoted this church all over, everywhere. Everywhere I go, if the conversation comes up, Alaska, this is what I say. Independent Baptist Church, Anchorage. You go there. It's a great, great church. And I just thank God for you people, Brother Roach and Miss Roach, and all those times we stayed in your home and enjoyed all that fellowship. Thank God for that. I really appreciate it. Brother Rob, bless you. Thank God that Brother Rob and Lisa have stayed in. I'm just thankful that you're going on, because I know so many that haven't. You do too. You, pastor back there, you do too, back there. And but what I have on my heart tonight, I didn't develop this message out of my experience over the last 6 months, but it fits well. You know, the Bible says that the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. And I was talking to Brother McGovern, Pastor McGovern, before the church, and I was talking about how sometimes God says, oh, yeah, you can preach it. Now, let's see if you can live it. And he'll let us sometimes. You people look at us and we dot our I's and we cross our T's. And you look at us and you say, oh, man, they walk on water. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. We don't walk on water. And we live in the same shoe leather that you do. And we fight the same battles you do. And we have many times the same strange things that happen to us in life. And we find out either what we're made of or God makes something of us in it. How many have a pen, a writing pen, I want you to do something right now, if you will, if you can. If you got something to write on, I want you to write a two-letter word down. Okay? It's the little word, it. I-T. And now I want to have prayer, and if you don't get it written, then write it after the prayer. Father, thank you for the night we've had. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus, salvation full and free. Thank you, Lord, for my kin folks in the Spirit. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of heaven. Thank you for that, Lord. I bless you for it. I honor you for it. This world is not my home, and I know that. I'm just passing through. I'm glad. Like Abraham, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger in the earth. My time and my race is almost run, and I'm happy in Jesus. I do pray that you'll let my wife and I go up in the rapture, but if that be not the way you have us to go, I know that it will be okay. I pray, God, tonight, if there be anybody in this place that's unsaved or unsure, that you'll point them to an old rugged cross, to a crucified Savior, to a risen Lord Jesus. May they come to Jesus in repentance and faith and be born again and have the peace that passes all understanding. And we'll thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless Pastor McGovern and his wife, his family, the church family, Pastor Roach, his wife and family. All these good people here, Lord, help them not to take advantage for what they have. Lord, help them, please, to take heed while they stand, lest they fall, I pray. I pray Satan will be defeated in his plan and purpose. I pray that his tricks and his wiles will fail. I pray that all of us will determine, Lord, with your help, by your grace, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I pray that. I pray for this other pastor that's here tonight that I haven't met, but you know him, and I pray you bless him, his ministry as well. And again, I pray for these folks. I pray for my wife and I. God, help us to be a blessing along the way of life. Work and move in a mighty way in those burdens that we have that we pray about every day. Touch these old bodies, Lord, I pray, and I pray you keep us in our right mind and on our feet until our feet leave the ground. And for all this, I'm going to praise you, Lord. Bless now the preaching of the word in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, in 35 years of pastoring, 4 years at the church I started in Columbus, and 31 at Niceville, the church that I resigned from just a little over a year and a few months ago. Here's what happened to me. Now, I can't go into details, but I just want to tell you. I recommended the man to come behind me. Church voted him in unanimous. Problem was, he had deceived my wife and I on some key issues that have to do with church. Long story short, 10 months later, he's resigned and left the church in shambles. It is split tonight. It is broken up. It's in horrible condition. A church that you were saved in, a church that we saw packed out and soul saved all the time. And out of that, I went into a, as I said yesterday, into a deep, dark valley. I couldn't believe. The last message I preached, well, no, the message I preached the night I resigned was on discernment. The last song I sang in the church was Jesus Now More Than Ever. And I did not realize how prophetic it was, all of that. And it was a tough time, and as I said yesterday, I had preachers that were calling and texting rather than encouraging, and I wouldn't talk for a good while there. But anyway, I began to have thoughts. 2 weeks I didn't sleep. None. My sleep cycle was messed up. I don't believe in taking a lot of stuff. I don't even remember the last time I had an ibuprofen. But some good friends said, your sleep cycle is off and you must get this back in order. I did that, but I was acting a little weird, so I quit that. But I had all kind of thoughts running through my brain. I've written out pages and pages. I have a folder that thick. I've answered this. I've outlined that. I have described everything that went wrong in minute detail. I would love to have been able to send all those answers to the people that needed them the most. And it's just like God, again, for one of those very few times in my ministry, has not allowed me to do it. I have not to this point did it. Another case like this, it's like the Lord said, you send it and I won't deal with them. Because he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I will repay, saith the Lord. So to this point, except for the people that have approached me, I haven't sent my long detail answers to everything. But I'm telling you this to say this. 2 Corinthians, don't turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6. We're told in there to cast down imaginations and bring into captivity every thought. Now, if we couldn't do that, God wouldn't tell us. True. If we knew every thought that has been through every mind in this building today, there would be some shocking things that have gone through these brains. So I'm preaching tonight on how do you make it through it? And my play is on the little two-letter word, it. And I want to show you, that probably everybody in here has at least one big it in your life. Some in here may have more than one it. And that thing that is an it is the thing that's, it's like, I remember David when in Psalm 51, when he was repentant and broken before God after his sin with Bathsheba, and Nathan came to him and he was broken. And in Psalm 51, he said, "My sin is ever before me." What I believe he meant about that was everywhere he turned, he could not get away from things that reminded him of what took place and how he failed. And even though he pronounced his own judgment, the man that has done this will pay fourfold. If you know your Bible, he paid fourfold. Pronounced his own judgment. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. It's hard for me to preach on a full stomach, but it is God's will and I will do it. But it's my fault because I watched Brother Roach and he only had one little piece of rinky-dink something on his plate. And I had a full plate and I'm thinking, oh, I know better than this. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 13 says this. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation to make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. What is your it? I want you to take your Bible and look, if you will, at another place, and then I'm going to read some scripture along the way as I preach tonight. But look, if you will, at Numbers chapter 11. And in Numbers chapter 11, quickly, we'll just read 11 down through 15. Numbers, you got it? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, just before Deuteronomy. Chapter 11. I hear your pages. I think most of you are there right now. Do not be embarrassed if you're not. Just keep going. I would never embarrass anybody trying to get to the Word of God. Verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people?" We're talking about Moses talking to God. "Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" This is a question mark. "When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me saying, give us flesh that we may eat." Look at 14 and 15. I am not able to bear all these people alone because, what is that? It is too heavy for me. Verse 15, he's talking to God. He says, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have not found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. He said, I cannot bear it. Look at 14 again. Because it is too heavy for me. And you know about his it. It was a whole lot of mumbling, complaining, grumbling, even failing and falling people. And Moses had his it, and he couldn't get rid of his it. He said, God, just kill me. Basically, God's saying, no, you're going to take it. You're going to carry it. Go back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Please stay with me. You'll connect in a few minutes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, Paul is speaking and he says, for though I should desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Now watch this, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, he said, that it might depart from me. I'm going to stop right there. I'll read a little bit more, but he talks about God's, he said, okay, I accept it, and God's grace is sufficient, and so forth. What is your thing? What is your it? What is that thing that's it's like gnawing, and it bothers you, and it's a problem for you? And you deal with it, and you wake up with it, and you go to sleep with it, and it's there, and you see things. It reminds you of your it. Your it is anything that takes your attention and bothers you and troubles you in life. Some people think their husband is the it. Some wives think, some husbands think it's the wife that's the it. The children are the it. By the way, you conceived them, and God gave them to you, and they're yours, and you deal with them. God obviously trusted you with it. So deal with it. This is why abortion. They want to be rid of it. It's just an it, Brother Robert. It's not a living, breathing, loving baby. It's an it. A blob. A glob. An extension of growth. I don't mean to get on that, but anyway, let me get on. He says, verse 8, for this thing he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. We all have its. Super spiritual say this to some of us sometimes. Super spiritual people sometimes say to us, because they haven't lived where we live, they haven't experienced what we experience, they say, I get over it. By the way, one of the worst things you can tell your child is, after you've wore them out, is get over it. Quit crying. You're the one that made them cry. Now, if there's not tears flowing, that's they're a hypocrite. Right? By the way, they're the best psychologist you ever met in your life. Children know how to play their parents. But anyway, parents are supposed to be wise. But let's go on. It may be a burden that you live with. That could be your it. Every day you wake up with it, it's a burden. You can't talk about it. Maybe you haven't talked about it. You can't share it. You're afraid to share it. Maybe it's a burden. Who knows? You know. Sometimes the it is a test of faith. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, this false narrative that people put out that bad things are not supposed to happen to good people. You can't prove that from the Bible. Boy, this Bible is full of bad things happening to good people. It could be a test of your faith. Sometimes it's a strained relationship. I tell you what I think the Spirit of God detests. I know something that God detests. Jesus Christ detests is when the people of God abide. And by the way, we haven't talked. Okay. I need to lay that out because I appreciate the fact that I can come in and preach with a clean conscience. That I'm not preaching at anybody. Amen. But I believe the Spirit of God detests when a body of believers cannot love each other, encourage one another, and pray for one another. And by the way, I told my church for years, if you want a new preacher, pray for the one you got. Amen. And if you're a good, strong Christian and you can get a prayer through to God, amen, you're welcome with Jesus, He'll answer your prayer and you'll get a new preacher. Anyway. Well, let me go on. Sometimes the it is a weakness in the flesh. A temptation. My first church I started and pastored in Columbus, Georgia, I had a Mormon guy saved and his wife. They got saved, got born again. He had a Christian brother, lived up in Maine, I think. And he had just got saved, Brother Rob, and this was wonderful. And I don't know what y'all know about Fort Benning, Army base. But anyway, over there, Phoenix City, have Victory Drive. There's nothing victory about Victory Drive. It's bar after bar after bar. He got saved, and a few weeks into it, he comes in. I'm preaching the living daylights to everybody, and he's broken. He's driving down Victory Drive. He sees a sign that's advertising beer, and it's made to look cold, and the sweat's running down it. And he goes in as a new believer. He doesn't drink just one. He drinks. And he gets so full of conviction. And his it was in his lost condition, he drank. And his it was he had that one failure, that one time. And thank you, God, you're talking about the new creature. The Spirit of God smote his heart and he got on the altar and won that victory and lived for Jesus and was still living for the Lord, last I heard. Maybe your it, and I may never get to finish this message, maybe your it is something that you deal with that you haven't, maybe a secret sin, maybe it's just something in your life, a temptation that you just... I'm one of those preachers that names it. Could be pornography. You young men, even young ladies today, you better guard your heart, guard it, save that, save your life and your mind. If you're still unmarried, save that so that when you do get married, there's some newness to it. Amen. But it could be. By the way, more and more men, older men, are messing with that mess. Ladies, same way with some ladies too, with stuff. It could be something, a secret thing. That could be your it. Oh, listen, I remember when I got saved, I was smoking. And I wish I had won the victory the same day I got saved. I didn't. I've had some people tell me, oh, I got saved and quit the same day. Well, I wasn't one of them. I came down to the altar so many times and gave them to the Lord. And then finally it was like the Lord said, I don't want them. I don't want them. And I still remember the day I was under such Holy Ghost conviction. And by the way, I'm talking about that was a big deal for me. I mean, honestly, smoking at that time, Brother Wright, was his finger would find me. I could be behind somebody, and it'd go around curves and find me. I tell you. But I finally, one day, I'd bought 10 acres of land at Griffin, Georgia. I'd bought 10 acres at Griffin, and I had inherited three ponies, I think, on that thing. But anyway, I had to go feed them, you know. I bought a pack of cigarettes, and I'm on the way. Young people, by the way, if you never take the first one, you'll never smoke the last one. But anyway, I got there and I looked over at that pony and I had that pack of cigarettes and I had just lit one. And I said, you've heard me say this. I wadded that pack of cigarettes up and threw them out toward those ponies. I said, dear God, deliver me from these things. And my it, that was one of them, became a thing of the past. Never smoked another one since then. Never even been tempted since then. Now, I got to move on here. Maybe like Paul, it's a thorn in the flesh. And the older we get, the more of them we have. I fell off of a ladder at church about 15 years ago and shattered that heel bone. I got high at church, but anyway, I fell off. Is this going out online or anything? For those of you listening online, I was on a ladder. But I came out of that attic. I was up in the attic. The ladder went away, pow, and shattered that heel bone. I've got titanium and screws and stuff down there. I'm not complaining. I'll just tell you this. It hurts every day. But there's some people who have worse stuff than I've got. Brother Taylor, are you back here? I don't see him. He's a double amputee, isn't he? No? He can? Oh, he can. Oh, okay. Because he mentioned he'd been to my church before, and I thought that he said that he had. Regardless, there are people who have a lot more than I do. But there's some folks that get up every day, and their it is with them. How do you go through it? Most of the time, we can't get over it until, and we shouldn't, except for the temptation part and all that, until we grow through it. Most of the time, what comes into our life, if it's something that's not because of our sin, God wants us to grow. He wants us to go through it and grow through it, whatever it is. And we, like Paul, we say, Lord, please take it away from me, Lord. Take this away. And a lot of times it's not God's will to take it away. Sometimes it's just for God to show us something and to help us. I want you to listen. I wrote these few little things down today. This will be, I hope, something just to jog your memory. And if you want it, I'll give it to you later. But I thought, you know, you ever thought about how many words are made up, three-letter words are made up with IT? Well, I wrote some of them down here. Let me give a couple of them to you. How about PIT? P-I-T. I'm going to read you a text in just a minute, but you can let your it take you down into a pit. You can let your it take you into a low place in life. Your parents don't understand you. That's your it. Your parents won't let you do this and that. That's your it. Young people, you can sit around and you can mope and have an attitude and you can nuzzle and rock your little baby of your little it and have you an attitude with your parents. But you know what they're doing is they've been where you are and they know if they don't help you, you may one day land in a pit. What about this one here? Fit, F-I-T. You can let your it make you pitch a fit. You know, I've been preaching before and I've watched people light up like a Christmas tree. I mean, just light up. And sometimes I said, I got your number. That's the truth. I'm a people person, and preachers, we can't read your mind, but sometimes we can read your actions, you know. And of course, like you said, I was that man that was going to the bathroom and didn't have time to shake hands. But anyway, at 75, coming up on 76, I feel like I have some reasons why I do what I do. What about this one here? Sit, S-I-T. You can let your it cause you to sit and get depressed. Just don't deal with your it and just sit. Well, I don't like the way the preacher steps up there. I don't like the way he reads. I don't like the way he reads the scriptures. I don't like the way the man does the music. I'd rather he pick some other songs. Just sit. That's your it. By the way, if you come in with an attitude in the church, you're wrong already. You got here wrong. Oh, well, I'm just preaching, y'all. What about this one? Hit, H-I-T. Take it out on somebody else. You can let your it create a conflict with you and get in these verbal. You don't have to physically hit somebody to really hurt them. You can let your it, whatever it is. There's been some times in my life when I knew the reason somebody got mad was because I just got on their row. That's all I did. I didn't really know. I had a lady. One of the first experiences I had at the church 31, 32, 33 years ago, I had a lady that came by at the back. I didn't know these people very well. I mean, I was a fresh, you know, whatever year I was. I don't know about, what was I, 43. This lady comes by and she, isn't it amazing how these people pick on a weaker vessel? Got my wife and said, your husband said it was something. Once she say something about it's wrong to drink alcohol. I said, yeah, amen. She said, well, he preached it. Talk to him. She said her husband had to have a little toddy every night. That was the way he settled his mind and stuff. It wasn't too long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I had somebody come by me at the back door. I'm talking about come by, listen, come by me and did this. I was raised in South Georgia. We waved at everybody that came by. I mean, we only got to see a car every, you know, out on the dirt road way out somewhere, you know. Y'all wouldn't know this, but those dirt roads had ruts in them, and the old Chevrolets, especially were bad about this, the rubber grommet on the shock would wear out, and they would jingle coming down. You could hear them jingling. I'd run and bust through the front two doors so I could wave, and I'm going by. Yeah. But sometimes when you ring somebody's doorbell, ding dong, is anybody home? Yeah. Well, here's the last one, and that is wit, W-I-T. You can deal with your it scripturally. Get some wit. Get some knowledge from God about this. And win. And move on. I want to give you, if I can, real quickly, what time did I start and what time do I finish? Did somebody steal my watch? Where'd it go? Well, it's somewhere. Let me give you this. This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. What happened to it? Oh, it's hid under here. It's 8:45. Let's go real fast. Number one, how do you deal with the its in life? How do you deal with things that... It could be something that's your fault. It could be something just God let happen. It could be somebody else that's irritating or bothering you. How do you deal with this? Number one, pray earnestly through it. You take your it to God. So I'll tell you one thing right now. Can I just give you hodgepodge? I'll just tell you one thing right now. That's the second time I've come in the last 3 weeks when she hasn't spoke to me. It's usually she, by the way. I'm not a male chauvinist. Men don't have those kind of problems. Honestly, we can crack each other's back and, you know, hey, brother, how you doing? But ladies, sometimes ladies, if you're not careful, you don't have that. You got that and that. Are y'all listening? Are you looking? What do you do with your it? You pray through it. You talk to God about it. You bathe that it in prayer. By the way, if it's important to you, it's important to God. And if you want to win over your it, you're not ready to win over your it until you are ready to pray about it and trust God with it. You got to pray it. You got to pray. We've got to pray earnestly. What about the thing I went through? Well, went is not the proper word. I've gone through it. I'm still dealing with stuff. Pray about everything. You know what the scriptures say. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 4, 1, 2, and 3, listen to this. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He says, hear me, O God. Listen to this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He said, have mercy on me. I skip on down. He said, the Lord will hear when I call unto Him. Bathe that thing in prayer. Psalm 40, I mentioned a little bit ago, David is so much like Paul to me, I sometimes call him the same. In Psalm 40, 1 through 5, and I'll just read you two verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Pray about your it. Pray. If you don't have daily prayer, you are a target for Satan. And he will take your little it or your two or three little its and he'll whip you and bring you down. You've got to take it to God in prayer and say, Lord, I need help. Help me with it. Number two, think carefully through it. Now, I don't expect you to be like me and I don't expect me to be like you because God wants me to be me and you, you. But I can tell you this, we better do some thinking. Let me quickly say this. Meditation is a very important thing in the Christian life. And meditating in the Word of God, and I'll come back to a third point that is kin to this, but meditating is a very important thing. Meditating is what a cow does when they regurgitate and chew again what they... So it's the idea is to take the truth of the Scriptures and chew on them and think on them and meditate on them. The psalmist in Psalm 1, I won't read it, you read it sometimes later, but he talks about meditating. God talks about meditating in the Word. It's important to read the Word, but if we only teach our children, I'm just saying, if we only teach our children that it pleases God to read three chapters a day, we've taught them wrong. And young people, it is good, it is right, and I believe in reading through our Scriptures, okay? I do it, we do it. But, yes, it's important to read the Scriptures, but there has to be some meditation too, thinking through. Think through what you're reading. Taking this Scripture here and this truth here, as you talk about first mention, I was taught that in Bible school as well. And that is, you get into the Word of God and you meditate and you think and you say, how does my it fit into this truth? That's a part of my life. So you meditate. We meditate. I think it was, might have been one of the men yesterday, talked about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, talking about all those things that we're supposed to think upon. Might have been you by the sight. I can't remember. Let me tell you something that's very, I've got to go. Something that's very important is when you see your thinking is going the wrong direction, you better get in the Word of God and start plowing that Word in, reading that Word. Misplacing. It's the same way with parents taking away certain kinds of music. You need to replace it with some good music. Are you with me? It's not replacement theology, but the idea is you counteract, you nullify the wrong with the right. Meditate, think on it. And it's kin to this one here. We pray through it. We think through it. Meditate. Study diligently through it. Listen to this. This is Psalm 16, 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night season. I've set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Psalm 73, 24 and 25 says this. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But listen to this. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. When we have these things that we deal with in life, and I haven't even touched the top of the surface of this thing, of all the different kind of things that can come at us. But when we do, we need God. Oh, we need God to give us counsel and to guide us. We need to meditate and think it through, and then we need to study it through. And you know the Scriptures. This would apply mainly to preachers, but study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We're told to rightly divide the Scriptures. And one of the good things that parents can do, and I know you do this, I trust you do, is show your young people, your children, how to study the Scriptures. I think y'all do that, and I'm so thankful for that. But even old people, we have to study. And you know, it's like what I've been through. It looks like everywhere, Brother Roach, everywhere I turn in my Scriptures, I see stuff that applies. I mean, here's number four. Number four is to see clearly by faith through it. You know, I quoted yesterday Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen to this. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But listen to this. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. You know the world's philosophy? I witnessed to a young man today right down yonder, an agnostic. You know what he wanted? He wanted to see to believe. And I told him, you'll never believe. I was just honest with him. I said, if you've got to see to believe, you'll never believe. And I told Brother Pastor McGovern about that interaction with him. But here's a young man. He can't understand the creation is witnessing to him in every direction he turns. He can't see it. Of course, I tried to help him a little bit with that and left him and trust that the Spirit of God will use that and left the track by the way you wrote. What is truth? But seeing through it. See, the world's philosophy is show me and I believe. And God's Word says, believe and I'll show you. Yeah, those two verses deal with right there is he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Faith is belief in something that's unbelievable, basically. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In other words, it's not faith if it doesn't take something besides, oh, that I can see that in a natural way. No, this is supernatural. And I'm finished with this right here. And it's that same point, by the way. In Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the faith chapter, the hall of faith, of believers. Here's what I see, and I just wrote me down this afternoon just to say. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. That's in chapter 11, by the way. By faith Abraham, by Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. And then I ask the question. By faith Rob?
By faith, Brother Lev? By faith, Shirley, I'll say, my wife, by faith. We're no different than they are, really. Oh, I know. No, we'll never be a Moses. We'll never be a Joseph. No, we won't be them, but we can be like them. And I don't know what your it is, but I can tell you this. I have known some people that did not deal with their it, and it became the downfall of those people simply because they didn't pray about it. They didn't meditate about it. They didn't study about it. They didn't have faith to believe that they could win through it and go through it and grow through it. And because they didn't, their it became their downfall. Some went to the pit. Some had a fit. Some blamed the preacher. Just doesn't understand. Whatever your it is, it could be something I didn't even say. It could be a sinful habit you have. It's not my place to even name your it, but I can tell you this. If you got one, the Holy Ghost of God is going to show you what it is. He'll point your it out to you. Stand by grace through it. Stand by grace. God will give you the grace to go through it. God told Paul, I'll give you the grace to go through it. Paul, in fact, Paul's the one that said it. He said that God's grace was sufficient. God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, then I can do it. Whatever your it is. And if you're here and you're unsaved, I know what your it is. I know exactly what your it is. You haven't come to the place yet where you really feel like that you're condemned by your own sinful condition. That's your it. And when you realize what your it is and you realize that you're under the condemnation of God, and by the way, we all have been there. If you know that you're unsaved, you can take care of it. All you got to do is believe you're a sinner, believe Jesus died on an old rugged cross for you, in repentance and faith, receive Him into your heart and life, and you will be born again. And your name will be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God forever, and heaven will be your home. And all I can tell you tonight is whatever's bothering you, God is interested in it. And He will help you. Father in heaven, thank you for letting me preach, and Brother Roach as well. I pray you bless the Word of God. Bless the people of God, I pray. Meet every need. Have your way, and we'll thank you and bless you and honor you for all you're going to do.